sampled it from him, but it's not the same bass line.
You can get in serious trouble for copyright infringement.
You got an organ going.
Yeah? Copyright is not doing crap!
Copyright? What's copyright?
It's the right of the
artist
to control.
Right now!
You know what time it is.
Welcome to
the copyright.
Yep. Welcome to the copyright experiment. You're listening to CITR in Vancouver, broadcasting out of UBC campus. CITR 101.9 FM on your dial. You were just listening to live from Thunderbird Radio Hell. Taped from Thunderbird Radio Hell. And now you're listening to the Copyright Experiment. Copyright Experiment, if you're a first-time listener, is a combination talk and music show. To kick it off, we talk about a topic related to the changes in the modern music industry, the ways in which our distribution models are changing, the way in which our consumption habits are changing, and mostly due to internet technologies, but also due to behavioral shifts and stuff like that. And if you're a longtime listener, you may be saddened to know that, or you'd be happy to know, actually, that the Copyright Experiment just turned 1 year old this past week. This is episode number 49 of our show. It's 1 year old now. Next week will be episode 50. And unfortunately, next week's episode 50 will also be the final episode of the Copyright Experiment, at least for now, probably forever. But don't be too upset about it, because we've had a pretty good run. We've talked about a lot of different topics, everything ranging from the changes in ebook culture to sampling lawsuits to everything in between there, streaming services, other kinds of music lawsuits. It's been a bit of a wild ride, but it's going to have to come to an end, unfortunately. I myself, Tim, aka Autonomy, is going off to grad school in September, so next week will be our last week. But don't worry, because I will continue doing a show here at CITR, and that brings me to the other part of our show, the music section, where I play a mix of all freely available music from the internet. All my music I play is from the internet. It's all by people giving away their music for free, and they also don't really have marketing budgets, which is why I help play them on the radio. We also have all of our download links available to download on our blog for all that music, so, you know, you can actually listen to the radio, hear the song you like, and go get it for yourself. Imagine that. So if you like any of the tunes you're going to hear today, or if you want to hear some of the older tunes and get download links for those, you can go to our blog at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com and get all that free music going on. So yeah, I'm going to be continuing with the free music portion of the show. So every week, probably at this time slot, we're going to be doing a mix of free music, so that's not going away. Unfortunately, we won't be doing talk topics anymore, or at least less frequently, as my time constraints narrow. But this week, let's get on with this week's topic. And this week's topic was a bit of a reflection for me. This week I was kind of thinking about the year that I've had exploring the modern music industry and the ways in which it's failing us, the ways in which music is challenging ideas of intellectual property, the ways in which artists are standing in the face of legislation and changing legislation in some ways. And it's kind of made me think about some of the things that the lessons I've learned throughout this exploration and kind of the big picture. So today we're going to talk about basically the rules of the music industry going forward. And so we'll kind of preface this about my thoughts about how music fits into an industry in general. And so over the course of the year that I've been doing the show, one thing that I've realized is that art, and especially music, doesn't really fit the role of a commodity in modern capitalism. And yeah, we live in a free market capitalist society, which is fine. It has its ups and downs, depending on who you talk to. They may think it's better or worse, but we live in that right now, so there's not much we can do about it. But art doesn't really fit into that structure very well. And the reason for that is because art is, and music, since at least the 18th century, it's not really scarce because it can be copied very easily. In the 18th century, it started with the printing press, which copied books very easily and written intellectual property, and then following through into the 20th century. And it's also not inherently owned. It's kind of a difficult concept to get around that something owns a piece of art. And a lot of people say that art isn't owned, and a lot of people say, of course, art is owned. And some may argue, I would probably argue that that's part of that view that art is owned is due to the culture that in which we've made art an ownable entity. And so those are the kind of reasons why art doesn't fit into free market capitalism, but it has fit very well into the market for the past 100, 200 years, 300 years, probably around 250. But that's not because it fits naturally. It's because we've legislated ways in which intellectual property, especially art, can work as a commodity, just like something else in a free market. And the way we've done that is through things like copyright initially, patents at around the same time as copyrights in the 18th century, and trademarks. Trademarks are ways for brands and companies to preserve their intellectual property. So the strength of art and music has really took on new heights and new levels in the 20th century. When the music industry and the film industry really in the United States took off and created more and more ambitious art, more and more finely tuned art to a higher degree of technicality, things like that. But with that came cost as well. And for a long time, these industries pushed for further and further, tighter and tighter legislation to protect these intellectual properties that they're creating, investing so much of their money in. And it kind of created a really intense machine of media that created things like film and television and radio and music. This is kind of where we were left at the end of the 20th century. And part of the reason that it works so well with these laws in place as a commodity, and why we created these giant behemoth organizations that pumps out art, is because music and art is something that kind of speaks to us irrationally. It doesn't really, in my view, it doesn't really have a explanation for why we feel a certain way in response to a piece of art, and it speaks to us emotionally. It speaks a language of emotion that doesn't really. It isn't really computable in the idea of a free market where we encounter rational players doing things that work best for them. And so these are very powerful tools, and it's kind of what created this monster of media empire. And as I said, in the late 20th century, this intellectual property reached kind of unprecedented lucrativity, and they became massive, the industries became massive, but the sad thing was that users and listeners and people who digested this media didn't really have any other way to get anything like that. In the music industry, you either were signed to a major label or you didn't exist. And that was the case up until around the turn of the millennium in year 2000, when the internet really started to go a bit more mainstream, and a lot of these tools that created a piracy ecosystem developed, such as Napster, which we've talked about a lot on the show before. But these are the kind of things that really changed the game as far as art goes. And the reason piracy was so successful was not, in my view, because people were greedy and people wanted things for free, but because if you look at the preservation of art historically, it had become a little too restrictive through law. So what I mean by that is copyright laws have become more and more strict, as corporations and the major players in the media game lobbied to make copyright stricter for their purposes, because it was very lucrative for them. But the game has changed with the dawn of the internet, and a little before the internet too, if you consider other artistic mediums. But that is a great thing for individuals, but the media empires have kind of cried wolf and said, well, if you pirate everything, you're just going to run us out of business, and we won't be able to make anything anymore anyway. And this is something that they said for probably over 10 years now, but the media industry, combined online and physical distribution methods, is still growing. It's not declining in any way. And it's people have had to find more creative ways to finance those things, but it still exists. And I think that speaks to the power of that kind of artistic content in general, and not the media empire around it. But because the game has changed, and because we're in a moment of flux right now in 2014, it's time for us, the listeners, the people who digest music and art and experience it, it's time for us to basically write the new rules of the game. And because we're in a state of flux right now, we can actually do that, which is awesome. It's a great time to be a music fan, despite what some people may say. And this will kind of... a lot of people have been talking about this lately. Some people are very adamant that the internet and the powerful corporations that run the internet have no vested interest in maintaining intellectual property rights because they make money on things like piracy. And but then there are others that will say that the music industry is in a very healthy state right now. One of those people was actually Taylor Swift, who wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal explaining her views on the future of the music industry. And you may think that Taylor Swift may not have a lot to say about the future of the music industry, but apparently she does. And she's very optimistic, and she's actually right on a few things, and other people have been saying it for a while, but it's nice to hear someone who is very much a cog in the music empire machine to recognize these also. And this is probably because she's a product of the modern generation that is changing the rules for the game. She says that the importance of creating experience for fans, especially unique experiences, is more important than ever. And this is really because album sales have been declining, and they've been falling for a long time. They don't show any signs of stopping. And so the album isn't really what creates the experience for fans anymore. You kind of have to create something unique. What she does is pretty interesting. She'll make really... Her concerts are always unique because she always has guests and things like that. Apparently, she threw a pizza party for her fans in her apartment and gave a particular fan money so they could buy some Chipotle. I guess that's, but it's kind of little things, I guess. But the point is that she understands her fans, and she understands that her fans are not just unique to her; they're unique to this new style of music industry. And so she recognizes that, and she's capitalizing on that very much, which is probably why the label she's on and the media machine around her is very happy with her. And she's also right that there will always be fans looking to connect with artists emotionally. And music isn't going to go away, and this is something we've talked about a lot on the show before, it's not going to go away just because the economic model behind it is changed or perhaps even been obliterated, although I would argue it's not. There's always going to be fans looking to connect emotionally, and music is one of the best ways to do that. And there's always going to be artists who want to connect with other people through music. It's unfortunate that not everyone is going to make a good living doing that, but at the same time, it's never been the case that everybody who wanted to make music could make a living doing it. So let's move on to some of the rules that I've kind of thought about now for how we can make, we collectively can make the music industry a place that we, or an entity that we actually want to be a part of. And for a long time, those copyright laws that made, that restricted content for so long in the late 20th century made the music industry a place where a lot of people didn't want to be, and even a lot of artists didn't want to be, but felt like they had to. And you saw a lot of that in the grunge music culture. But now, now is the time that we can really, what I would call, set the equilibrium on how we want intellectual property to be viewed as a society. And for a long time, the equilibrium I'm referring to is basically between copyright law, which creates artificial scarcity of the product in the market. And this is what creates basically a demand. It limits the supply by creating laws to limit how you can distribute and disseminate these things. And it creates, it generates a demand by limiting supply. Or on the other side of the equilibrium, we have things like convenience and availability. And these are the things that drive piracy, the things that drive basically digital repeatability and things like that. But they also don't really jive well with the idea of a free market where demand is required to generate revenue. And like I said, music, even though it doesn't really fit into a supply and demand model, it's there. That's what we live in. And so we kind of have to figure out a way to mar them together in a way that makes everybody at least fairly satisfied. I don't think the media empires will ever be satisfied, but that's okay. We don't need to worry about them. So the equilibrium is between scarcity through copyright law and availability through convenience methods. And for a long time, that equilibrium was pushed over to the scarcity side. But now we had a really hard swing back to availability through piracy and Napster. But now we're kind of settling into the middle, the equilibrium that includes things like streaming services and convenient forms to digest music while still paying for it, or not paying for it if the artist doesn't want to charge for it. And that's kind of what this show is all about. So we have to decide kind of where, how much we want to value convenience and how much we want to value, how much we want to limit the amount of art that gets out there for people to consume. And that's a question that everybody kind of has to answer for themselves. How much do they want to, how much do they want to go against the rules and get their music for free? And how much do they want to preserve intellectual property for artists? And I can't really answer that for anyone. But that's something that we collectively need to think about and take actions to establish if we want to be happy with the state of our music industry. The second rule that we need to create that is unsure is that we get to decide how our artists, the artists that we follow, get to make money. And some artists are going to be content not making any money or very little money off their art. Some people, mostly established artists, will fight tooth and nail for their industry so they can keep doing what they love. But every artist would like to just do their art and nothing else. And with that requires revenue. And despite kind of cries from the mainstream music industry, the biggest artists will always make lots of money. And that's just going to be true by virtue of what we're seeing now. The biggest stars made a lot of money in the 90s, and they're still making a lot of money now. And the businesses around them are going to make a lot of money too. The only question is really how they're going to do it. And traditionally, we've supported artists through buying from them directly or semi-directly. In the case of something like a label, we can buy their music outright, which is the traditional way. Or do we want to kind of sacrifice our attention, the kind of purity of an experience, and do we care if an artist sells out in order to make a living? Or do we want to go down that route? And that's something I can't really answer for anyone either. Right now, a lot of companies and artists are experimenting with partnering with really big brands. And brands are kind of realizing now, on the heels of companies like Red Bull, who got this very early, understood it, that lifestyles are extremely important to new consumers. And by aligning your brand with a certain lifestyle, you basically gain market share in that lifestyle. And this has been very successful, very lucrative for Red Bull, and it's starting to catch on with a lot of other brands too. A lot of clothing brands and stuff like that are aligning themselves and sponsoring specific artists. They're putting their products in their videos. They're sponsoring tours. They're sponsoring music festivals, all to kind of give a lifestyle to their brand. And this is extremely powerful for consumers, but it may not be something that we want to do. If we're not willing to support artists in certain ways, such as through sales of music or merchandise or tours and stuff like that, if we're not willing to pay them X amount of dollars, those artists will get the money to do those tours in other ways, such as through these sponsorships. And that's going to be up to independent individual artists to decide how they want to do that. But it's also going to be up to fans to say how much they actually want to support a fan financially through their attention, and how much they want to support them financially through their wallets. And that's something that everyone has to decide on their own. We'll see where the dust settles in the end, really. But it's really interesting to be in a position to make those rules. We get to set the equilibrium on how we view intellectual property. We get to set the model that dictates how artists support themselves. And it's really exciting to be in this time, I'll say. And so, that's kind of what I wanted to just kind of explore today. Really leave it fairly open-ended, but if you have thoughts about this, definitely, I think everybody needs to think about this a bit more and take a serious look at how they behave in the modern music industry now, and how they think, and see if those behaviors align with how they think the industry should be. And really, that's what it comes down to. So, that's going to wrap up our talk today about rewriting the rules of the music industry. This is the second last show of the copyright experiment in its current form. Next week, I'll actually have a guest on the show, a local entrepreneur who runs a business that has had has been sued for trademark infringement, but recently won their case. So if you tune in next week, you'll find out who that is. And it should be pretty interesting. So tune in next week, Thursday at 11. Now we're going to move on to the music portion of the show. So I'm going to play a bunch of free music. If you like any of the songs you hear, you can download them at copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. I'll put up download links for all the tracks I play right now in the next day or so, next couple days. So keep an eye on that, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. And you can also listen to the podcast on the show, on the website there as well, or subscribe to our Mixcloud. Any number of ways to listen in. So I'll be right back, and we're going to play some music.
An evening extravaganza of digital proportions. Don't miss Patterns, Locomoto Art's annual multimedia interactive art exhibit and public event. 8:30 to 11:30 p.m., August 24th at Aberthaw Mansion. Come see where nature meets the latest in new media, digital arts, audio, and technology. Free and great for all ages. You can also join in on free workshops taking place all of August. For all event info, go to locomotoart.weebly.com.
In indigenous cultures across the globe, women are givers and creators of sacred life. They nurture and shape our children. They influence future generations through the early interactions and teachings they pass on to our youth. These transfers of knowledge are in grave danger, as women are common victims of violence, especially in communities where extractive industries are taking place. Violence against Indigenous women and children is one of the most serious violations of human rights, and Indigenous people have to work as equal partners with states to develop standards and mechanisms to enforce women's rights, strengthen their civic and political participation, and protect them from the different forms of violence they are commonly subjected to. We need to bring the issue of violence against women to light and work to uncover the extent of this problem so that we can seek the needed resources to put an end to this grave injustice towards Indigenous women. This series shares the concepts and recommendations contained in the ALTA outcome document. For more information, visit WCIP2014.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to CITR. CITR is the station. The Copyright Experiment is the show. Going to play some music. Going to be a DJ mix of all free tunes. So you're not going to hear too much of me, but you are going to hear lots of great music. First up, we got the new single from Tina Shea featuring Drake, 2-1. This is a free remix by a guy named Seventh Wonder. Puts out tons and tons of free music. So go hit him up on SoundCloud, Seventh Wonder. Or get the download link on the blog. We'll put him up later. Enjoy.
Let's not do it. Get money, get money like a cowboy.
Lucas from Seattle, spotted by Ryan Hemsworth. It's making really cool, emotive, R&B inspired stuff. Before that was a girl from across the Atlantic named Polar Youth.
Awesome.
Music Waste and CITR 101.9 are pleased to present the 10th annual Victory Square Block Party on August 31st.
Ooh, yeah!
This free day of music features the Shilohs, Cool, Dead Soft, Tough Age, Supermoon, Purple Hearts Social Club, Nervous Talk, and Fountain, plus DJs Cherche La Femme and Richard McFarlane. Come down to Victory Square from 2 to 9 p.m., located on the corner of Canby Street and West Hastings.
Can do!
For more information, go to victorysquareblockparty.com.
Featuring a wide range of music from India, including popular music from the 1930s to the present,
Rhythms
India,
alternating Sundays 8 to 9 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Copyright Experiment on CITR 101.9 FM. If you like any of the tunes you just heard or the tunes you're about to hear, make sure you hit up the blog, copyrightexperiment.tumblr.com. Got download links for all the songs we play, because all the songs we play are free. Imagine that. Cool. All right, we're going to pick up the pace a bit now. I got a new track from Tal Mala from Vancouver. It's really, really cool. Nice rhythmic dance tune, so enjoy this.
a new day, nobody ain't telling me shit. Don't mess about, so I take down enemies. Can't leave Graham cause I love that, or can't you tell? I told myself I don't really give a F like my enemies. Got to, it's not a myth, how I exist. I took one five, yeah, I took the piss. If I take shots, no, I ain't gonna miss. So I may as well embrace the fact that I'm this.
Thank you. Chocolate Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Working Monday night on the corner flipping hard. Made at least 3,000 on the boulevard. I've been working graveyard shifts every other weekend. Ain't got no fucking time to party on the weekend. I've been flipping in the house, making jugs on the highway. I've been riding out of state, making money like my way. I don't think that I should dance. I'm just gonna have another drink. I'm doing my stance. You know my Molly pink. I got the loudest of the loud. You know my gas stink. My P.O. think I'm in the house. Don't give a damn about what she think. Got the club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday. Club going up on a Tuesday. Got your girl in the cut and she Tuesday.
Hey, go and get you some. Want that? That shot looks stupid dumb. Boy, you better flaunt that. I'm saying first they on my porch and used to claw back. And they with me now. Yeah, they with me now. If I could predict my future, I bet 100 million. Pops ain't think we picked that pick off from hanging out front the building. Get in the head of that shot, turn lettering on my letterman. That's my bet now. Cause they with me now. Yeah, they with me now. Damn, them fools like every day. I'm not since ain't time to sunset. Brand new watch, I fell alert. Some bustin', I ain't done yet. Cut that street chick, cause I'm from that. Before I knew the tango had a knot. But watch how I work, I put that on the clock. It wanna get you some.
City on my back. Niggas know I ain't gon' find me.
I'ma pull up in that bitch like shit. I'm trippin' up in tightrope walking. Niggas pointin' and talkin'. When you play, they pray your balance fail you just to watch you fallin'. I'm still on my tippy toe. Kids in my city club. Cause they with me now. Yeah, they with me now. They work like a stripper, bitch. Apply it to the grip. Pivot to a yard, stop. Toss it back. Run a play. Touch a stack. Count a purple. And it's like they counterfeit. Who'll be with you now? Same niggas from the rip. Clock don't stop. Gotta clock this cash. Bet I knew that in the past. Look at all the bullshit I've been through. Been in this shit since 93. Running like Mike back in 92. Woo! Paint in the 83. Super Chef T, get that ring. Pop said, make it, don't let it make you. Say you Mr. Old Vic, bitch, me too. We was on the road, I ain't had no job. I ain't get no kick, I ain't had no watch, no whip, nope. But I had that spot, they with me now. Run upon you like the Flintstones. You 6 feet down, bam, bam. Teddy bear from my jumper. You a clown, and that was the end of the night. Not catching me in traffic, but not the train station. You the pack and pay vacation. And I stay on wood on the 47. You could Google Map. Boy, they with me now. If you want something, they let you have it. Gonna get you some.
I need that.
If you want that, it's shit the fucking edge. I need 100 flat. I feel like Walter Payton. Run that for my city now.
We'll be right back.
Final track for tonight. It's a remix by Buku of Vancouver expat Ilesha. If you liked any of the songs you heard tonight, make sure you check out the blog. CopyrightExperiment.tumblr.com. Download links for everything, past shows. Coming up next is Pierre with Oral Tentacles, taking you through for the rest of the night. Have a good one.
Hey there, listeners. You're listening to 101.9 FM CITR, and it's a beautiful day in Vancouver here, and hope you're enjoying the weather, and probably sitting at the beach drinking some booze.